Message series we've been in for quite some time. We've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, Gospel of Matthew 5, 6, and chapter 7. And we've been kind of doing so by looking at some of the things, the wisdom of mothers when they used to say certain things to us. And whether your mom used to say this to you, or maybe if you've ever parented children, especially young children, whether you're a father, but probably a mother, you've said these things. For example, when you go out to eat, if you've had young kids, you know what it's like when the waiter or the waitress comes to take the order. You've had plenty of time, and your kid's looking at the kids' menu and still hasn't decided whether they want the chicken nuggets and the fries or the grilled cheese and the applesauce. And as mom, you're kind of like, make up your mind. Or maybe it's when you're going on vacation and you tell your son or daughter you get one toy to take with you in the minivan for the 20-hour trip to Florida. Now pick one toy. You come back 45 minutes later and they've got like four or five and they still can't decide. Make up your mind, right? But the one that I'll always remember when my kids were young was a place that we would take them to, and I just knew I had to put my extra patience on this day if we were gonna venture in to Chuck E. Cheese's. How many have been to Chuck E. Cheese with kids, right? So if you've been there, you know it's more than just the pizza. It's the games, and when you play the games, if you win, you get the tokens, and every once in a while, you'd know it, one of my kids would hit the mother load and get tons of tickets, to which then you take them up to the register, and for those tickets, you can earn prizes if you have enough tickets. Some things will cost 25 tickets, some 30, some 35, but you can imagine when you have young kids, and you go up, and you got this wad of tickets to spend, and then you look at the selection, it's like, oh my goodness, right? And I can remember my boys like, oh, no, I wanted to. Mom was you know, doing pretty well. Dad had enough. I'm stepping in front of mom. Dad always said, make up your mind, right? Let's go. Let's get out of here. Because you and I both know, right, that toy is going to break by the time we get home in the car. It's just going to. It's not worth it. Well, today, in a different way, with greater patience maybe than myself or my wife would have, Jesus says to us, make up your mind. Today you have an opportunity to choose. And if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to join me in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. And really our text for this morning primarily is in two verses, 13 and 14. Jesus is speaking to the crowd, and he's given the Sermon on the Mount when he says these words. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This is probably one of the most straightforward messages. This is not terribly deep, but it's going to call you to make a decision today, to analyze the decisions perhaps you've already made to this point in life. And before we go any further, in those two verses, I just want to break down what Jesus is saying. He is comparing and contrasting two things here, right? For example, he says, breaking it down, he says, there is a narrow gate that leads to a narrow road that leads to life. Only few find it. In comparison, there is also a wide gate on a broad road that leads to destruction, and many find it through it. The question becomes to us this morning is, what road are you traveling? If we go back to the very beginning, what Jesus said, he says, enter through the narrow gate. It's the word enter. Enter. It's a Greek imperative. In the original language, this Greek word enter would have been translated as a command for action. This isn't Jesus making a suggestion. Well, you might want to consider. Perhaps you might want to go through the narrow gate. No, he says, enter. It's a command to action. It's into a condition. The word enter means into a condition. When he says enter, it's a command for action. A command for action what? Into a condition. It's a metaphor that means to begin to be, to come into life. Maybe that's not where you are now, but come into life. Begin to be this, into a condition. Do that. Enter And then he says, through the narrow gate, the word through, very simple to understand, right? It means by means of. How do I enter? By means of the narrow gate. Emphasis on narrow. Very intentional word Jesus uses. It's specific. It's not a narrow. It's not one of many narrow gates. It's the narrow gate. It's specific. Notice this. It's small and constrictive. There's no wiggle room here. It's a tight fit. Gate. Very easy to understand. Jesus is the gate. This is why through many times in the scriptures we'll see Jesus make assertions like this in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father, notice what it says, except through me. It's small, it's constrictive, it's quite narrow. Jesus in John 10, 9 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters, notice what it says, through me will be saved. If you want to know how you get to be saved today, it's through Jesus. You get nowhere except through this gate, through me is what he says. There is only one way Jesus is teaching us to get to God, and he's it. Now, I know that doesn't sell real well today in our culture, but I want you to understand something. This is not a wet finger up in the air public opinion poll that Jesus is taking here. This is not something that will be palatable to all people groups. This will often be deemed lacking tolerance by some, considered closed-minded by others. And for sure, this is not a politically correct statement, but this is what Jesus says, and I just want you to know, I believe it. The question is, do you believe it? Because in Acts chapter 4, we find these words written, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Salvation is found, notice what it says, in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which they may be saved. And yet, people want to pick and choose their theology. They want to pick and parcel out what they want to believe in the scriptures. They're looking for a wide gate God. If you don't think that's true, try this. The next time you're having a conversation with colleagues, and don't be a jerk about it, but if the conversation would turn towards things of life and spiritual nature, just see when you bring up the topic of Jesus, the fact that apart from confessing and repenting of one's sin, placing one's faith, their trust, their hope, their life in Jesus is the only way to have eternal life, see how that announcement plays out around the table. People get upset when you start saying things like that. I read not too long ago, we may have shared this before, maybe you're familiar with the movement on college campuses called Campus Crusade for Christ. Have you ever heard of that? 60-year-old ministry for 60 years. Their name was Campus Crusade for Christ. Just several years ago, they took out the words campus, they took out the words crusade, and they took out the word Christ in who they referred themselves to. They call themselves now CRU, C-R-U, CRU. And I was wondering, well, that's interesting. Why did they do that? And unless that's changed, the last time I looked at their website, the removal of the word Christ from the ministries of their website, here was the reason. It says, CRU enables us to have discussions about Christ with people who might initially be turned off by a more overtly Christian name. Now, that's interesting. More overtly Christian name, because Christ is in the word Christian, just to start, right? And I'm not one who says you need, you know, that you have to be overtly Christian. I think sometimes we could be found in the church of not being overt enough. And I don't mean that because you got to go put bumper stickers on the back of your car and you got to put scripture verses on your Facebook wall and that kind of thing. I'm all for removing barriers to the gospel of Jesus. I'm all for removing anything that could be in the way of somebody's hearts or their heads that would keep them from the gospel. The gospel, right, just so we understand, when we say the word gospel, it means good news. When I'm talking about good news, I'm talking about that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, died on a cross, was buried, and rose from the dead. That's what the gospel is about, okay? Just so we're all in the same terminology. I'm all for removing any barrier to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus. But when you take the name Christ, or you take the name Jesus Christ out of the gospel, my friend, you no longer have any gospel. You no longer have any good news. Because that's what the good news is about. It's about Jesus Christ. And some people would say, well, what about the Muslims? What about the Buddhists? What about the Hindus? Yeah, I know, because today, if you exclude anybody from anything, you're in trouble. It's not politically correct. It's simply considered intolerant. It's very narrow-minded. And I would say, yes, exactly. Did you hear that? It's narrow-minded. Yes, exactly. Because that's what Jesus said. He said, enter through the narrow gate. Constricted, small. Narrow gate is Jesus. It's a constricted choice that one makes. It's a one-way only entrance. If I could give you a visual today, as Jesus gave this sermon, when Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, and he's talking about himself, I think if I could give you one picture, here's what it'd be. Jesus is the turnstile to life. You ever been through one of those? Right? It's a tight fit. It's small. It's constricted. You ever try to come out the other way? It won't work. It won't turn that way. It only turns one way. You ever tried to carry a backpack and some luggage through one of those? Not happening. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to say to us, I think, in this text. This is an individual experience. It's personal. You enter through the gate one person at a time. I cannot walk through for you. You cannot walk through for me. And we can't even walk through that per se together. And you can't carry anything with you through that gate other than your full dependence upon God and Jesus Christ. You say, well, why is this so important today? Let me ask you something. Let's just get really real on life for a second. How many funerals have you been to where somebody didn't make it to heaven? Well, let me rephrase it. Let me say it a different way. Have you ever noticed when you go to a funeral, it seems as if everybody who dies goes to heaven? That's what people say. Well, he's in a better place now. How do you know that? What makes you so certain? Well, you know, it didn't really matter what they did or neglected to do. It's just they're in a better place. And, you know, really? Is that what your Bible teaches? That's not what my Bible teaches. That may be what you and I would like to believe, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus later, in verse 21 of Matthew 7, even goes a little further. He says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, Jesus goes back to verse 13 and 14. He says, for wide is the gate, broad is the road, and it leads to destruction, and many enter through it. See, the world would have us to believe that there are many gates that lead to the road that leads to life. I don't know if you've noticed this, but you don't hear any pastors pushing hell. You don't have any people inviting somebody to hell. You never have anybody trying to sell you hell. No, everybody's trying to sell you heaven. But Jesus is saying, but the wide gate, although it seemingly has much to offer to you in this life, it is streamlined straight to hell, streamlined straight to destruction. And this is why his command is clear. Enter through the narrow gate. Well, let's break this down for a second. Narrow road. Sold out to Jesus. going through the turnstile, the gate, which is Jesus, caring nothing but your dependency upon God for your salvation. Contrast that to the broad road, sold out to self, to the flesh, to performance, to pleasures, carrying with you the things of this world. And then there's some who think they're walking on the middle road. The middle road is one where you follow some of the Bible, but let's not get too crazy about this. Let's not get too radical. Let's not be too overtly Christian. We follow some of the Bible unless it becomes inconvenient, unless it goes against what I want to do, against the things that I think I want to say to them. Can we be very clear? There is no middle road. Jesus says there are two. One is narrow and it leads to life. The other is broad and it leads to destruction. Again, I'm asking you, which road are you traveling today? And if you go through the scriptures, you'll find Jesus, when he talks about salvation, what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God, he never marketed it to be easy. He never marketed it to be cheap. There was always a cost. There was always a price to pay. There was always a sacrifice of self. Contrast that with the wide gate that Jesus speaks of. He says, for wide is the gate. It's so easy to find. It's so easy to enter. Matter of fact, we could all do it together today if we wanted to. Many find it. But Jesus is also very straightforward. And he tells us that it leads to destruction. And that this broad road, there's no cross to bear. There's no call to personal holiness. You just be who you are as you are all the time with no expectation of change, no call to sacrifice yourself, but it'll lead to destruction. Check this out, church, listen. Jesus says two gates, two roads, two differing destinations. One leads to life, one leads to destruction. This is why we better count the cost. The destruction or life? My guess is some of you presently are walking the broad road. And maybe you chose to enter through that wide gate because, let's just be honest, it's easy. It's quicker. Doesn't require much sacrifice, if any, of yourself. A lot of my friends are walking that road. Don't want to get left behind. Some of you are walking that broad road, though, today. But you've begun to see this road isn't what it was marketed to be. You begin to see this road for what it is. You begin to see that it's an empty pursuit. There's times as you walk this road, it feels very hopeless. It doesn't seem to fulfill. It leaves you longing for something more. It lacks purpose. It lacks meaning. And I'm asking you, are you there today? Are you here today? Have you become dissatisfied with life? Are you trying to find answers but seem to come up with nothing? Are you one of those who consistently and persistently is turning to this or trying to turn to that and trying to find a quick fix and nothing seems to work? Have you been doing the easy and find yourself ending up on empty? Some of you are walking the broad road. You're living through destructive patterns that you're living in, destructive living patterns, destructive living choices that you're making. Some of you have a very destructive pace of life that you're living. You have no boundaries anywhere. Work and family and extracurricular and hobbies, it all just kind of blurs into one line and you feel torn everywhere and you're tired and you're worn. Some of you are walking a broad road that has led you to some destructive relationship choices, some destructive relationship patterns. Some of you have very destructive addictions or habits that you keep, and maybe you think nobody else knows, but you do. If you're walking that broad road, may I ask you very simply, how many more made and broken promises will it take? How many more wrecked and ruined relationships for you? How many more evenings, perhaps, of drunkenness and weekends of blown paychecks will it take for you to realize this is leading me nowhere to, except for something that's not good? How many more times will you get hammered by the decisions along this broad road until you realize I'm on the wrong road? This is leading me to nothing but destruction and emptiness. Two gates, two roads, two destinations. We forgot one, though. Did you catch it? Two crowds of people. Two crowds of people. Listen again. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter into it. Compare and contrast to small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Again, are you a part of the many, or are you a part of the few? Jesus says that the small gate, that the narrow road, it's difficult to enter. Few are those who find it. And yet I'm convinced today, as I stand before you, that there are many of you desperately seeking to find it. It reminds me of a story that Jesus talked about. The Gospels, it's in the Gospels. Story goes of a rich young man who, some call him a rich young ruler. My guess is he had lots of money and he was empowered over other people. And it says that as Jesus was teaching, that he approached Jesus and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" You know what the real question is? What do I do to get onto the road that leads to life? Do you know what Jesus says after a little banter with him? He says, "You know the commandments." He says, "Do not commit adultery." He looks at the guy, he says, "Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony against others. Honor your father and mother." And I could almost see the guy's shoulders kind of go back when he's like, "I've kept all those since I was a boy, teacher." And then Jesus looks at him and says, "But one thing you lack. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then come follow me." We really don't hear much after that story, after that statement to this man. But if I could paint the picture, I see him looking at Jesus when he hears those words, turning a 180, head held low in sadness as he walks away. What does this have to do with the text that we're talking about today? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to enter through that gate, the narrow gate, on the narrow road that leads to life, Jesus? What does Jesus tell him? In essence, liquidate all you got, give it away, follow me. What was Jesus driving at? If you think it was about this man's material possessions, that wasn't the issue. If you think it was about him keeping the law and being obedient to everything that's in the scriptures, that wasn't the issue. Matter of fact, I would tell you this, nobody is saved either by keeping the law or by becoming poor and giving all their money away and being generous. That's not the point. The point is this, Jesus is saying to me, "Do you really want just me? I want to know that you'll walk through the turnstile of life. You'll throw all your baggage, anything that would hold you back, it's gone. Because the only way you can get through is just you and you alone following hard after me." That's what Jesus is driving at. We see that through all the scriptures, even in the Old Testament. God makes mention of this often. Listen to this in Jeremiah. He says this, "You will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart." In Isaiah, it says this, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon." You see, this narrow gate requires of us to leave the old us, the old ways of thinking, the old ways of the heart behind. It means when I come to that turnstile of life, I leave all of my self-determination, I leave all of my self-ambitions, I leave all of my self-will and all my self-help books that I think are going to make me better. I just come as I am to Jesus. And as I enter in through that gate, I leave all behind, all my sense of goodness and all of my best efforts, because it's only my full dependence on Jesus and what he did on the cross for me that gets me through that turnstile. But that's not easy, is it? That's a call to self-sacrifice. It's a call from hanging on and holding on to everything that we think matters and leaving it and say, all I need is you, Jesus. But the Bible tells us, you'll seek me, you'll find me, and when you seek me with all that you have, I ask you, what road are you traveling today? See, the narrow gate is Jesus. Now, there may be somebody here that's like, okay, I hear that, but what makes Jesus, what gives him the right to say he's the only way? Where does he get off saying that stuff? Where do you get off preaching that stuff, Jeff? I want to take you to the scriptures. I think it explains it pretty well. Hebrews chapter 9, listen to this, what was recorded. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands. It was only a copy of the true one. Now, let me stop there before we get on so I can paint the picture for you. In the Jewish culture in the Old Testament days, before Jesus came on the scene, they had a sacrificial system. And you'd have to enter into the temple of God. And there were certain gates you would go through. But there was one that nobody could go through, only the high priest. It was called the Holy of Holies. And inside this room, if you will, was the presence of God Almighty. And let's just say this, you didn't enter in there unless you were totally free of sin, because you would instantly die. Matter of fact, the rabbis used to say that they would tie a string on the heel or the ankle of the high priest with bells that would jingle, so that when he entered in here, as he prepared the sacrifice to move around, if over time the bells stopped ringing, he probably died. And they could just pull him out because he probably still had sin that he carried in. See, when the high priest went in, he represented all of the people. He went on behalf of the whole nation of Israel when he made that sacrifice. And the night before, there were a lot of rituals to keep him free from sin, free from anything that would entangle him before he went in there. And so I want you to get this picture. And every year, once every year, the high priest had to go in for all the people. Now, take that analogy and lay it over what we're reading in Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, the temple, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. He's our high priest. He's going in for us. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest entered the most holy place every year with blood that was not his own. You see, Jesus, when he entered the Holy of Holies, he entered with his own blood shed for you and for me. Otherwise, it says, if Christ had to go back and back over and over year after year, just like the high priest, he would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But Jesus has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by, notice this, the sacrifice of himself. You ask me, why is Jesus the narrow gate? Where does he get off saying that he's the only way? Because he died and shed his blood for sinners like you and me. And he stood before God in God's presence on our behalf as our defense attorney, and says that if we would enter through him, that he would stand before the Father and prove our innocence now before God. This is why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one enters into the Father except through me. And if you go on and read the rest of this, in verse 27, watch this. Just as people are destined to die once, we're all going to die a physical death, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he, Jesus, will appear a second time. But when he comes again, it won't be to bear our sin. It'll be to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. I want to make sure you catch that. The first time Jesus came, his mission was to die on a cross, to sacrifice himself, to shed his blood, to atone our sins. And then he went back up into heaven. But he's coming again. And when he comes again, this time it won't be to bear our sins. It'll be to take with him, to claim the salvation of those who have had their sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You say, well, why is this such a big deal? Here's why it's a big deal today. This is why we're talking about this. People are destined to die once, and then the judgment. One day, each and every one of us will stand before a holy, righteous God, judge. You and I have an appointment with God. Every one of us will have a date with deity. And on that day, God will pronounce a judgment. What does that mean? God will make a division. He will divide. Now watch this. He will divide the few from the many. He will divide the true disciples from the false disciples. He will divide the sheep from the goats. If you go on and read in Matthew chapter 7, he will divide the wise human who built his house upon the rock, the words of Jesus, from that of the foolish builder who built his house upon the sand. And the wise builders will survive, and the foolish builders will die. And one day, that will be true of each one, every one of us in this room, that God will judge. And in that moment, this is a big deal, because make sure you're understanding. When you get up there and you face God, God's not going to say, well, you know what? I know you meant well. And well, you know, come on in after all. I was just playing with all that Jesus stuff. It's okay. He's not the only way, the truth, and life. I know you thought some other things. Just come on in. Not then. No, Jesus says this very clearly in the end of Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many, do you have to just watch this? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons? And in your name, did we not perform many miracles? Stop there for a second. Many will say that. Are you part of the many? Do you think your good works are going to get you there? Your works better be pretty good. Because these people are saying, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we drive out demons? When's the last time you drove out demons? Huh? Did we not perform miracles in your name? When's the last time you performed a miracle or two? That's what these people are saying. We did these things. And yet still notice what Jesus says to them. I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He's not going to say, come on in, I was just playing about all that other stuff. This is real. What road are you traveling today? Have you entered through the narrow gate, or are you through the broad gate? Are you part of the few, or are you a part of the many? Jesus says, enter. It's a command for us that we can choose to ignore if we want. But it's a command for action. It's a call into a condition, into a state of things or being. It means to begin to be. You say, but Pastor Jeff, I'm not any of those things now. I know you're not now, but that's why you choose Jesus. You can begin to be this. You can begin now to walk the narrow road. You have this choice today. The question is, which will you choose? Two gates, two roads, two groups of people. And two roads lead to two differing destinations, eternal life or destruction. Which one would you choose? Today, if you're here or if you're online listening today on a podcast, I want to invite you to choose Jesus' admonition to enter through the narrow gate. Not one of us knows what tomorrow holds, or even this afternoon for that matter. But the Bible is pretty clear. It is appointed unto man and woman once to die, and then the judgment. We're all going to face a physical death at some point, and it's at that moment that it will be necessary to know what you decided. There'll be no more purgatory. There'll be no second chances. There'll be no makeup calls later. It's right here, right now. You have that choice while you're still breathing air. Jesus or not Jesus. Narrow gate. Narrow road, broad road. Life, destruction. Jesus invites you to come. And so I want to give you that opportunity right now. So I'm going to just ask if you, wherever you are, if you just bow your heads. And today, if this is you, and you know that you've been walking the broad road, and you've begun to see it for what it is, it seems hopeless and empty. It seems like every time you turn around, there's something else. Now, understand that isn't to say just because you enter onto the narrow road that life gets easy. No, it requires a lot of you. It requires everything. But we also are promised on that road that we have a helper. God himself as the Holy Spirit will empower us to live the life that Jesus calls us to live. And so today, if that's you, if today you say, I want to change roads, I don't want to walk the broad road anymore, I want to walk on the narrow road, then my friend, you have to enter through the narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is simply this. You leave everything else behind to say, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever. And I give you my sins as well. I believe that you died on the cross, were buried, shed your blood, rose again for me, to save me. And so my friends, if that's you today, if you'll just receive that, believing it, that Jesus died for you, that he rose again for you. And then if from this day forward, I'm going to do my best to follow Jesus with his help. Would you just offer that to God? Simply tell him, God, today I receive you. God, as I enter through the turnstile, which is Jesus, receive me into your arms. God, I don't even know what that looks like for sure, but I know that's what I desire with all my heart. I've walked that broad road, and it's led me nowhere. God, I want to be on the road that leads to life. So Jesus, I receive your invitation. Today I receive the forgiveness of sins by your shed blood. Make me a child of God. Thank you for giving me that opportunity today, Jesus. I ask these things in your name. Amen. Today, wherever you're seated, or if you're online, perhaps you made that decision. Maybe it's the first time you realize that, I wonder why things were, and there is a difference. There is a choice that can be made. Today, can I just encourage you, we'd like to invite you to do something. If you would, if you made that decision and you're here in person, or maybe you're online and you made that decision as we pray, would you just take out your smartphone and text narrow to 574-475-7055. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're not going to get a bunch of stuff hit your email, I promise you that. When you do that, you're going to get a response back, and it'll send you to a link that you can click on. There'll be a video, and I'm going to say a few words to you there. And then there will be a little form you can fill out just asking you for your name and your email address. And if you would like us to, we'll follow up with you. Later on this week, we'll just give you a call or shoot you an email. Probably be an email to start with. And if you need more talking, that's great. Some of you may, we just want to know that you made that decision. But some of you may be sure like, okay, now what? That's why we're doing this. So text narrow to 574-475-7055, and we'll send that to you. One of our ministry team leaders will follow up later this week, maybe just to have a word of prayer with you, maybe just to say, how's it going this week? Is there anything we can be praying about with you or for you? Maybe you're like, yeah, I don't even know how to read my Bible. I don't even have a Bible. We want to help you with those things. But that's if you want the support. But if not anything, just be so kind to let us know that, you know what, today was impactful for you. You made a decision of life change. We'd be gratefully appreciative of that. As you go, go with God. He will definitely go with you. Ushers, if you'll come and you'll begin to dismiss the crowd. People online, thanks for being with us today. We'll hope to see you again next week.